Today's lesson is on racism. And I know I've kind of touched on it when I gave a sermon on wokeism one time. And in many ways, I'm glad I grew up in New York City because I got to see all types of racism. In today's liberal society, they're saying racism is basically when someone is oppressed and white people are oppressing black people and brown people, but that's not what racism is. Can anybody give me a definition of racism?
Is it looking down on another person? It's not like you.
Correct. Anybody else? And can someone defy prejudice? What's up? Who said that? Stereotype, right? You see a certain person, you say, well, you know, this person's got to be this, this person's got to be that. You've already made a decision just based on what that person looks like. And like I said, I grew up in New York City, and I know some of you hold it against me, but that's all right. I love you still. But, you know, I met all types of races. I met like people who are racist, Chinese people who are racist, Japanese people who are racist. I had a neighbor who was Japanese, and every time somebody Chinese would walk by, he'd literally spit on the floor. My father made sure I stayed away from that guy. I mean, he told me, do not stand with that man. You know, I met people who were Hispanic that hated people from Cuba who hated people from Puerto Rico, Mexicans who couldn't stand, you know, people from San Salvador, Colombians who hated people from Peru. That's all types of racism out there. It's just hating someone for the color of the skin or where they're from or even their religion. We heard all the Jew jokes when I was growing up, and now those were heavily racially tinged. And very unfair and very stereotypical. Now, I'm mixed. I'm half black and I'm half white. On the white side of my family, believe it or not, there were Sephardic Jews. I am half Jewish. Most people, you know, they look at my last name. My last name is Jewish. Surprise, surprise. So I'm hearing all these Jew jokes and I'm saying to myself, should I tell this person I'm half Jewish? And sometimes it was very hard to just to hold my tongue. Sometimes I actually felt like belting some people. And I wasn't a Christian then. Sometimes I did belt some people. And they got me angry enough. But that's what racism is. Now, can some people tell me what type of statements people make that are racist statements?
You people.
Or if you see a guy that's, you know, wearing a turban, he must be a terrorist, right? Or, you know, you have somebody, you're walking, minding your business, and somebody sees you behind them, and they check their wallet. You know, I've had that happen to me. I'm like, why? What's this guy think I'm going to do? I'm just trying to get home like he is. Or, you know, they stereotype you. You know, you're white, you automatically hate me because I'm not white. And growing up, some of the nicest people in my life, some of the people who've helped me out the most in my life have been people completely of the opposite race. And some of the people who tried the worst things to hurt me have been people of my own race. So it doesn't mean, you know, this just shows you it's what God wants. Let's turn to Acts 10. Acts 10:34. This is where Peter talks about the Gentiles hearing the good news. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. So God is not partial to our race. He doesn't care what color you are, where you were born, whether you went to MIT, or went to Columbia University, or went to a local Texas college, whether you're rich or you're poor, it does not matter to God. What God looks at is our hearts and minds. Do we do His will? Have we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior? Are we serving God? We have all this stereotyping out in this world, and you know it's being fostered, especially to you young guys going to college. You know, I ran into some of these college people, and they're just being brainwashed with this BLM nonsense. I was in the airport, and I told this to my wife, and I had this BLM protester while I was trying to get to my flight come up to me and say, you know, I feel sorry for you. I'm on your side. And I said, what do you mean you're on my side? Well, I understand you've been oppressed. I said, I haven't been oppressed. What are you talking about? Oh, you know, you're oppressed. You know, I understand, you know, you're going through all these things. And I said, young lady, you know, I'm fine. Yes, I face racism. I face things in this world, but who hasn't? And I tried to explain to her that racism isn't just white people hating black people. And it just couldn't get through her skull. She was just brainwashed that she's an oppressor and, you know, all the things I've done is evil. And I explained to her, you know, were you a slave owner? She said no. Were your parents slave owners? She said no. Were your ancestors slave owners? She said no. So what are you feeling guilty about? And it just couldn't get through her skull. She was just this on this guilt trip and, you know, BLM and, you know, everything's it's horrible. The whole world's terrible. But guess what? You know, I've talked to people in India. They have caste systems there where if you're this caste, they look down upon you. There's still slavery in the Middle East. There's still slavery. Well, there's the sex trade. People being sold into slavery right in our very shores here. But that's a whole different subject. But racism, like I said, is more. It's just a pure hatred of someone based on their skin color. Now, let me ask you all a question. Can experiences shape people's attitudes towards racism?
Yes.
So someone got mugged by a person of this ethnicity, and they're already thinking that, well, they see another guy that looks like that, they're going to go, oh, wow. You know, better watch my back, right? Maybe that's what happened to that guy who was walking behind. He's checking his wallet. Maybe somebody that looked like me jumped in from behind and put him in a chokehold or something. But does that mean that everyone is a criminal for that? I mean, if I got mugged by an Irish guy, do I now think every Irishman is a criminal? And by the way, I did get robbed by an Irish guy one time. They got him. They arrested the guy anyway. But do I think every Irish person is a criminal now? No. I just blame that individual. You know, when they brought me to the precinct, I said, that's the guy, and that was it. And of course, I've had the same thing happen to me where somebody would just walk in and say, that's the guy. And I literally got pulled out of a barber chair with half my hair cut. That was a scene. But was racial prejudice a problem in biblical times?
Yes.
Can somebody read John 1:46?
And Jason said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see.
Correct. He was talking about Christ, right? They had preconceived notions that all Nazarenes were good for nothings, right? Nothing good could come out of that place. But our Lord and Savior came out of Nazareth. John 1:9 says, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I might also add that Christ talked about the good Samaritan, right? While all those people looked away, the Samaritan came and helped this man who was beat up and robbed. So, yes, they dealt with racism back then. And, you know, to this day, you know, a lot of people consider us goyim. You know, goyim is a term in Hebrew, means basically you're a Gentile. And you're separate from everyone else. So back in those days, you know, the Samaritans were considered goyim. They're considered not even worthy to even look at. You know, secular history shows us that the Jews, when they saw a Samaritan, literally walk on the other side of the road rather than just walk by a Samaritan. That's how much they hated Samaritans. They just had this hatred for them. But Christ broke the mold, right? He spoke to a Samaritan woman. They heard the good news. And many came to salvation. Many Samaritans were saved through Christ, listening to his message. Acts 22. Can someone read Acts 22, 21, and 22? Well, actually, 22, 21.
And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.
That is correct. So God's love was not just for the Hebrew people, right? It was for the whole world. Salvation was not just Hebrew people or specific people. What does the Bible say about those who judge according to outward appearance? Can someone read John 7:24?
John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment.
Amen. 1 Samuel 16:7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So is there one race superior to the other? No. God looks at our hearts, regardless if you're black, white, Chinese, Indian, European, African, Asian, Korean, Japanese, it doesn't matter. It's our hearts that God wants. In Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Now, I don't see anything here that says, you know, God could have created them white, God created them black, God created them Asian, Mesopotamian, whatever. He said God created us in his image, all of us. That's what troubles me so much, to see so much violence in this world, so much hatred over the skin color of someone, because we are all made in God's image. Rocky, you want to say something? So what is racism? That's right. It's a sin, but what is it? A sin of what? It's a sin of pride, right? That's the way I look at it. It's a sin of pride. You think you're better than someone else. You know, I'm better than you. Because I was, you know, born to this family, or I was, you know, I'm better educated. We see a lot of that in the Caribbean. You know, someone would be close friends with someone for a very long time, and then their daughter or son becomes a doctor. Now the person, the family doesn't even want to talk to the other family because they feel, you know, they're better. You know, my son is a doctor and a lawyer or whatever, and, you know, your son just works for the sanitation department. So, you know, we don't talk to people who are low caste. It is silly, idiotic, and stupid. Stupidity to the highest level. People who know each other for 20, 30 years stop speaking over nonsense like that. But you see it all the time out there. And it's a Caribbean thing. You see it in Barbados. You see it in Hispaniola. You see it in Curacao, my mother's from. You see it all over there. And that's a form of pride, where you look down at someone based on your education. Well, they also look down on you based on the color of your skin. And it's a big problem down there, unfortunately. You know, people who are light-skinned blacks always seem to get the jobs there with the public more, customer service. And those who are darker skinned are pretty much rejected. So, and this is black-on-black racism. It's a shame. It's terrible. It's awful. But it goes on. Not just here. It happens everywhere. Now, let me ask a question. You think racism will ever end in our lifetime? I don't think so. Someone once told me racism is over, and I told them, well, that's like saying the devil doesn't exist, right? We know that Satan is real. It'll always be real. But we as Christians have to rise above that. Am I right? My brothers and sisters, we're all Christians. We represent Jesus Christ. So we talk to anyone, regardless of their skin tone, where they're from. You know, when I was in Upper West Manhattan Church of Christ, we had people from about, I would say about 30 countries, maybe 31 countries. I like that because you get to know a little about what people go through and their culture and their lives, how they came to Christ. And you get to see how tough Christian life is outside of the United States. We have it made here, brothers and sisters. You know, I've talked to sisters and brothers in Christ who've been shot at by their own family from converting from the Muslim religion to Christianity. The hatred they face for being Christians in their own country. So we're blessed here. So that's another form of racism, religious persecution. Hating someone because they're a Jew, hating someone because they're Catholic. If you can see what that did to Ireland for so many years, that racism, Protestants versus Catholics. People from the sometimes the same family with guns drawn at each other, literally killing each other over something so stupid and ridiculous. Let me ask you, could a Christian be a member of the Ku Klux Klan, Black Panthers, BLM, a racial gang? No way, right? Someone read to me 1 John 2, 9. 9 through 11.
Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him there is no false.
So if you hate someone, right? You're as, what did Christ say? If you hate someone, you're a murderer, right? You're as good as a killer if you hate someone for the color of their skin or where they're from or what they look like. So we judge by what? We judge righteously, right? By their actions. You know, I've met some people who, and I said to myself, wow, I better not talk to this guy, you know, when we're doing street evangelism out there in New York. You know, this guy probably bopped me in the head. And I said to myself, I'm judging, you know what? I said to myself, God forgive me, I'm judging that guy based on what he looks like. I am guilty of judging someone without knowing them. So I said, here he goes. And I walk up to that person, talk to him about Christ, and boom, the person was open to the idea of Jesus Christ. And I'm like, wow, what would God have counted that against me if I didn't go up to this person? It's just because I judged the way the guy looked. You know, he looked to me like an old boxer, tough guy, you know, that was just bop me in the head. I don't want to hear about Jesus. But he was very receptive. This is what God means, that we judge righteously. This is what the prophet Samuel was talking about. Acts 2. Acts 2, 21 and 39. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, it doesn't say only a certain group, will be saved. It says everyone. That's all inclusive, regardless of where you're from, regardless of where you grew up, regardless of where you were born, regardless of the color of your skin. Verse 39 says, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. As many. That means the whole world. The invitation for salvation is open to every race, every creed, every nation on earth. For God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. He didn't say, for God so loved black people. For God so loved the Koreans. For God so loved the Chinese. For God so loved white people or people from Somalia or people from Germany. He said, for God so loved the world. The world encompasses every living human being on this planet. the whole world. John 10:16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. This is Christ speaking. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. So even Jesus Christ knew that the gospel message will reach the Gentiles and reach every man and woman on earth. Beat me to it. It's all right. Galatians 2, that's correct. Galatians 2:11 through 16. That's right. He was being a hypocrite, right? He was being a racist, basically. He won't sit with the Gentiles, but
he was cowering to other people's thought processes. You know, he's sitting here, he's an apostle. We can all do that. He may not have felt that way, but he allowed the peer pressure to push him through. Do I think Peter was racist? No. Do I think that he made poor choices because he was scared of what people thought?
You think that was a sin he committed?
I think that he should.
Okay.
It was
because that was my question. Did Peter sin refusing to have fellowship with the Gentiles?
I completely agree.
Or refusing to socialize with them, being caught in public. You know, I have some people, you know, back in the day, you know, who will say things, you know, I want to be caught dead walking with this person. And I said, why? You know, well, you know, don't you look at them? And I'm looking at the person is Oriental. You know, my father served in Okinawa. And I said, well, that guy's Korean, you know, he's not Japanese. Yes. Well, you couldn't tell, right? By the way, the rhetoric from BLM and all these other people on the left. God as God, not beat me to the question, by the way. Rocky?
Let's kind of tie in the last comment. You got a good verse there about the Jewish people, Israelites. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 to 8, where it talks about the Israelites, it says, Moses tells the people, says, you are a holy people to the Lord. Someone would view that when God is racist, he's thinking about the Israelites to be a holy people. He definitely does say that. Why did he select them? And it goes on down in verse 8. It was God's choice that that nation made.
Correct. Very good, Rocky. Can someone read Genesis 4, verses 1 through 15? We're going to talk about Ham and Canaan. Yes.
Now a man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel.
What was Cain's curse being sent out or being marked?
To be sent out.
For his wickedness, right? Let's look at Genesis 9, 20 to 25. Then Noah began farming and planted a vineyard. He drank up the wine and became drunk and uncovered himself inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were turned away so they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah woke from his wine, he knew what his youngest son had done to him. So he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brothers." Now, I've had some people, believe it or not, tell me that Canaan were descendants of settlers of Africa and therefore black. Does the curse place on Canaan further there will be perpetual servitude of the black race? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Do you think interracial marriage is condemned by God? My wife and I went to a church, and we were a Seventh-day Adventist offshoot, Worldwide Church of God, with Armstrongism, and they were belittled people who had interracial marriages. Their reasoning was God wanted the races pure. You know, that was terrible. They tried to break up a lot of good marriages with that nonsense, and I thank God that I came intact from out of that. Because guess what? My wife and I were interracial, even though I'm half black. Let's take a look here. lost my place. Sorry, guys.
Alex, are you going to move on from Noah's Sons?
Yes, we're moving on.
Just one comment about Noah's Sons. When you read through these different families, keeping in mind, Genesis was written by Moses after the people left Egypt. When you go through this list of families, the interesting thing that I noticed is that Egyptians are not mentioned in these descendants. The focus of the descendants are all the peoples that are kind of in or very close to the promised land. You know, the people that the Israelites were encountered after they left Egypt. So the argument that descendants, I don't know where the argument, I haven't studied it, but I don't know where, what the argument is that Ham's descendants, is it Ham's descendants, went to Africa. Like, I would have to see a map showing where all these different peoples were if that kind of map were even trustworthy or accurate.
Do you guys remember when Moses married the Cushite woman? Did God disapprove of that marriage? Let's turn to Numbers. I'm almost out of time here. Let's turn to Numbers 12. Numbers 12. Numbers 12, 1 through 15. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was a very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, "You three, come out to the tent of the meeting." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood on the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam when they had both come forward. He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" And of course we know he hit Marion with leprosy for talking against Moses, for being against the woman whom he married. So obviously there was no objection from God, from Jehovah, for Moses marrying this Cushite woman. So no. God's okay with interracial marriage. It's in his word. Rocky? Okay. You know, racism, bigotry is a terrible thing to have. Just hating someone for the color of their skin. You know, I know people who don't like interracial couples who are married. They tell me, "That's not right." I said, "Why is it not right?" It's not right. That person should be married with someone who looks like them. And I said, "Why? If they love each other, what difference does it make? If they cherish each other, what difference does it make?" I know some interracial couples that married 50 years, 60 years. I'm married to my wife going on 32 years. It doesn't matter. If you have Christ's love and you share that love with your spouse, it doesn't matter what color their skin is. My wife couldn't have been from Tasmania or whatever. It doesn't care. She could have been from Russia. It doesn't care. I fell in love with her, her personality, her character, her heart. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all.
But Alex, God said that they weren't supposed to marry foreign women.
They weren't supposed to marry foreign women because of their religious beliefs. That's why. This is what Matt was, you know, stole my thunder there. But that's okay. But that's why what God wanted for the Hebrew people to stay away from worshiping Malek, the detestable god, and you know, and Torah, and all these horrible gods these people worship. I mean, they sacrifice their children to some of these gods. Malak was, they sacrificed little newborn babies. They were terrible. Temple prostitution. God was keeping them away from all these things. And not because these people were evil. I'm sure some of these people converted to Judaism. We don't see it. We don't know. Margaret, you had a question? Matt? And they put up temples, right, to all these gods, to Malak, you know, to Baal. They worship Baal. They worship Malak, all these detestable gods. You know, pretty much like slap God in the face, right, after he gave them all these things to do, and you'll be blessed. And they just said, we don't care. But God wasn't looking at the race. He was looking at their ideology, their religion, what they worship. I'm sure people don't know there are Ethiopian Jews. And I've talked to some rabbis, you know. My wife's old boss was a professor of rabbinical studies. And he pointed out to me that the Ethiopian Jews are one of some of the oldest Jewish sects in the world that are left in the world. So obviously there were black Jews back in the day. And they, believe it or not, Jewish people are all over the world. And yes, some of them are different races. They're Jews in Barbados. They're Jews in Japan. They're Jews, not a whole lot. I met some Iranian Jews when I was in New York the last time. And I told the guy, you know, you must be from Israel, because I heard him speaking. He says, no, we're from Iran. We're Iranian Jews. Iran has Jews? Yes. Yes, they do. So does half of Arabia. Saudi Arabia, there are Jewish people all over the world. Doesn't matter. Rocky?
Let's go back to this question you raised in the class about did God approve of Moses' marriage? We read the verses there. I would say that God is silent on whether he approves the message, or approves the marriage. What's clear is that Miriam and Aaron are using the marriage to question Moses' authority as a prophet. God come pretty hard down on Aaron and Miriam that he's the prophet, he's the one selected. So definitely God is against them questioning his authority as a prophet. But in terms of being whether God approved, I would say to me, when I look at it, it's silent. Clearly, Miriam and Aaron think it's a problem because they bring it up to use it as a reason to question his authority. But I'm not so sure that we read the verses that he was approving of the marriage. To me, he was
I think he approved of the marriage, because if he didn't approve it, God would have come down on Moses, wouldn't he?
We just read the verses. He's coming down on Aaron
and Miriam
and Aaron because they're questioning Moses as a prophet. Moses was the prophet. Definitely, clearly, God was against that. They're questioning their authority.
But they were against the Cushite woman. I think, in my humble opinion, I think that God approved of the marriage. I think if Moses would have done something wrong, God was not one to hold back. Remember, God did not allow Moses to enter the promised land because Moses sinned against Jehovah. So I believe if he would have done something like marry someone that's going to draw him away from following him, from following Jehovah, that he wouldn't have approved of the marriage. That's what I believe.
Just throw that out, brothers.
Okay.
And just also, you know, we know that God didn't allow multiple wives. Did he say anything about David's multiple wives or Saul's? And remained silent on that. And we know that it was not God's plan from the beginning. So there's things that God remains silent on, and whether he approves or disapproves is sometimes not clear. So for everyone to consider and keep that in mind.
Okay. Do we listen to ourselves talk?
Yes.
Are we prejudiced or racist in how we talk? Are we careful how we approach people? Do we see people and you want to know, you know, where are you from? You know, and I say, oh, well, I'm from New York. No. Where's your family from? Where are they from? What country are they from? New York, you know, whatever. Do you get that? I've gotten that. And people say, you know, you look Arab. Oh, I do? Or you look so-and-so, or you look this. Are we careful how we approach people? I like to just talk to people. They're Christian. They're brother or sister of Christ. They'll let me know. In due time, people tell you where they're from, and they'll tell you their family background. Are we judging people by how they look? Can somebody read Titus 3, 2 to 3? Do we treat people the way we want to be treated? You know, Christ said in Matthew 7:12, in everything therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Yes. Titus 3, 2, and 3.
Be people of no one, to avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy before all people. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another.
So in other words, God wants us to treat everyone the way we want to be treated, right? With humility, with honor, with love. Not looking down on people. Or, you know, that person sits next to you. I've seen people, somebody will sit down, and they'll get up and go somewhere else because they don't like the way the person looks or where they're from or what outfit they're wearing. No, God wants us to always judge people and treat people the way we like to be treated. I'm sure I find it very offensive. I just sat down somewhere and someone just look at me and just get up and move because they didn't like the way I look. It's happened to me before in the past in New York City. I mean, I've been chased out of neighborhoods growing up with people with bats and sticks calling me the N-word. Now, I could have just turned around and just started hating everyone because of what happened to me, but I didn't. I just blamed those people for what they did. And, you know, my father was a polygamist, wasn't the greatest guy in the world, but one thing he taught me is, you don't blame a whole group of people for the actions of one person. And I'm glad he taught me that at an early age. You blame those individuals if somebody does something bad to you. But you don't just label a whole group of people based on the actions of a few people. And God wants us always to treat people, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It looks like I'm just about out of time there. But thank you so much for your attention and for your participation. And we got a little more. We'll finish this up another time. God bless you all.